cannot wait to delve into this issue, the latest issue of Our Wisconsin magazine. And with me on the line right now, Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Don. Great to be back.
And I will tell you, because of your magazine, we have picked out a perfect Labor Day weekend trip. We're going to the Clausen Music, Clausen Family Music Show up
music
in
the theater in Coloma.
That's where we're going. We got our tickets. We're ready to go. All based on the ad in your magazine.
Well, the Clausen Family Music Show has been going for a lot of years, at least 15. They're in Coloma, and they have it's a very talented musical family along with their friends, and they have many different shows there. They have Christmas programs. They will do the music of famous performers. They'll do country music, barn dance type things, bluegrass type things, show tunes, things like that. And they serve food there, and it's busloads of people come in. They're in Coloma, northern end of Marquette County, Washer, right on the edge. And that's a beautiful part of the state, middle of the state. And you still have some rolling hills there, and it's starting to get up toward the Central Sands Country. You chose a good one. Any particular show you're going to see, or are you just going to hear some music?
Yeah, my wife chose the show. Now I can't think of what it was, because we did it back in April, and now I can't. That's how far in advance you might have to do it to get, get good records.
Yeah,
they're very popular.
The food there is good. Sometimes they do Norwegian theme food, and they'll have shows like Patsy Cline or Hank Williams or name it. More contemporary performers too.
I think she chose the Greatest Hits show, where they do a little bit of each show. The Greatest Hits.
A lot of energy.
Yeah, so that was it. Then your magazine. So we got our Labor Day weekend all planned out now. Thank you very much.
Well, you're way ahead of me. And people tell us with this magazine, we print it on pretty substantial paper, slick color printing. The magazines tend to hang around for a while. People tell us they're too good to throw away because they are built on high-quality paper. But what they do is they will flag things that they see in the magazine, that places that they think are pretty cool, events, places, scenery, and they mark them for the future, and then they hang on to them, and it's like, okay, let time take a little travel here, and they will use this as sort of a little day trip planning tool or weekend planning tool around the state.
Let's talk about the first article in here today in the new issue, a dog that likes jet skiing. Now, I told you off the air, my dog liked to lay around and eat and then lay around and eat. This dog goes jet skiing in the summer.
Well, you're talking about Jack the Hound Dog. Now, Pickerel Lake is about 1,200 and some odd acres around Pearson, Antigo. That area of the state, because it's not far, far to the north, like where I'm sitting right now, Manitowish Waters, it's within reach of a lot of population centers such as Fox River Valley, Milwaukee, Racine, not too long a drive. So it's been a very popular vacation area for generations. And one of our readers, and we invite readers to send in their stories, about cool things, unusual things that happen in Wisconsin or in their memories, in their fond memories, have happened in Wisconsin. You're talking about Jack the dog. So Jackie Learman of Appleton talks about their summer visits up to their cottage on Pickerel Lake. And along with them would come one of their son's dogs. He's a hound dog mix by the name of Jack. Pretty sizable guy by the look of the photos here. And hounds are known, if I can stereotype dogs, hounds are known for being strong trackers, as you well know, and I think we've discussed. They follow their nose. There's a reason why they use hounds to track people, track animals, find stuff. And they're runners. They're very athletic, high-energy dogs in general. Jack is one of those, okay? Hounds, meanwhile, are not known for their swimming capabilities as so much as, say, a retriever like a Labrador or a Golden or a Chesapeake with the big heavy web feet. Jack, for some reason, loves swimming. Jack the Hound, the big, long, lanky hound, loved swimming on Pickerel Lake. Okay. Not only did he love swimming, he loved hopping aboard a jet ski in the lap of the driver, his master, son of Jackie Learman, and go bombing around the lake. As soon as he heard one of those craft revving up at the dock, this dog would go running for the dock, standing there, you know, shaking in anticipation, hoping he could get aboard. So they'd tour him around the lake a little bit, and ears flying in the breeze, you know, just almost like with a dog with his head out the pickup truck window, you know. And that'd be done. They'd deposit him on shore, and they'd park the craft. Well, the dog just loved the water. He'd continue in the water. This hound would continue swimming and playing with the kids. Now, the most memorable thing about Jack, this big, long, lanky galump of a dog, he'd go to get out of the lake. But instead of just stepping up on the beach, stepping up on the shore, he swam up to the dock and a very rudimentary swim ladder. Now, I'm not talking about a nice one with great big rungs that are comfortable on your feet. I'm talking about an old-fashioned cobbled-together one made out of pipe, probably about a one-inch pipe, maybe something like that. The side rails are pipe, and the foot pads, the rungs on the way up are pipe, okay? Not real big. This dog would feel his way. He would climb the ladder, a hound dog climbing a ladder. He would climb this ladder with very small pipes, and he would painstakingly put one foot on one pipe and another foot on another pipe. And little by little, as people watched him, he climbed up to join them on the dock, and they would all cheer because it was so arduous. He was climbing. He needed a Sherpa to help him. He'd get up there and shake off and just, you know, as dog owners know, dogs can smile. He'd have a big grin on his face, shaking. The kids were cheering him. And for that ability and sheer joy of summer, Jack remains, he's no longer with us. This goes back to the 70s. Jack remains memorable on Pickerel Lake, and sometimes dogs, when they leave heart prints in your heart. He left heart prints in their hearts, but also still on the dock, I think.
I know. I have my dogs in urns all in my house. All my dogs, I have seven dogs there. And over the
seven dogs?
Yeah, well, that's from years and decades, yeah.
Wow.
And most of them are beagles. But, you know, there's an old saying that the dog is part of your life, but you are all of his life, because they don't live that long. You know, 14 years maybe, you know, a good life. So, yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm glad I said that story about Jack. I love dogs. Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine joining us this morning, as he does every other month. We're talking about some of the stories in the latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Before we begin, tell people how they can get their glossy copy like I have.
Well, it's you can give us a call at 1-877-717-8925.
Okay, that's good. Could you go online anywhere and order it?
Yes, you can go online as well. Go to our website at ourwisconsinmag.com.
I guess you were afraid people couldn't spell the full word, right? So you just went with mag, is that it? You
didn't want to Well, Our Wisconsin is pretty long as it is.
Okay.
So now magazine, you know, it's so much easier to make typos when you have unending words.
Let's talk about Moose on the Loose in the latest issue. And by the way, after that, we're going to do At Home in the Old World, the story about people living in the Stagecoach Inn. But yeah. Let's talk about Moose on the Loose now.
Moose on the Loose, that's That's the story of Amanda Griggs, okay, an interesting young lady. I'm going to call her a citizen scientist. She lives in Springstead, Wisconsin. That's far up north in Iron County. Nearest cities would be Mercer, Park Falls, where she makes her home. She was an educator for many years, a teacher, and she's good at what she does here. And when we connect her up with Moose in a moment, and Amanda, she now has a full time job. She works in healthcare at one of the clinics in the area, I believe. Amanda took a shine to the large herbivores known as moose, and they're in Canada, they're in Alaska, they're in, you know, those farther northern climes. When you think of moose, you don't usually think of Wisconsin, maybe Minnesota and upper Michigan, for some populations that, you know, actually breed and live and have young right in those places. You don't think of Wisconsin, and truly the wildlife biologists and books that they've written on this species in Wisconsin has always considered moose to be visitors, if you will, some that have strayed over from Minnesota, that have strayed from upper Michigan, traveled around, and they're spotted here. From time to time, they are. And so she was one day on her way to the grocery store in the vehicle, in her car, and she was heading down Highway 47 toward Mercer, and it's summertime, and she spots, what's that up ahead? That's no deer. It was a moose, and it was a moose lumbering down the road slowly, no one else around. And she slowed down, stopped, and watched. And she watched, in fascination because she'd never seen anything. It was bigger than her car. She'd never seen anything like this. And then she starts making video with her cell phone. And she became intrigued. What's this guy doing around here? Where does he live? What's this all about? She starts spending time. She never made it to the store that day. So she started taking hikes with the thought, I mean, way back in the bush, on her own, little young lady, on her own, looking for signs of moose. Are they around here? What's going on? Now, this is more than 10 years ago. She has now been on a jihad. She's been moose obsessed. She's now made 71 sightings of moose in the state of Wisconsin, mostly in Iron and Vilas County. And she has been keeping a database of these sightings, where and when. Okay. She has been out in the woods. It's, you know, upland woods, but also kind of mushy, marshy environments. These animals need water, and they hang out where there is a lot of water, and it's not easy walking. She's climbed trees. She's swam rivers across, tracking and following, everything you can think of to get close to moose. She saw some antlers in the very beginning of her quest, then some other antlers, and because she's in thick stuff. Pretty soon, these two bull moose are sparring, okay? And she's right there. They're grunting, they're charging, they're sparring. It's breeding behavior. They're hammering into each other. Anybody else would be frightened by that. Well, no, I had to stay. Why did you have to stay, Amanda? I had to get pictures. I had to stay, you know? And that's how dedicated she is to this. And what it's resulted in, though, it's more than a hobby, because the sightings that she has documented, she's also got other sightings from other people because she's got websites, and she invites people to share their sightings. So she's got 10 years worth of sightings, 71 of which are hers. I think there's more than 100 and a half in the north central part of the state. She shares that information with the professional scientists in the DNR who are look at long-term trends. They're not real quick to say, yeah, this animal lives here for sure. You know, they need a lot of data. And some of her data has changed a little bit of the thinking on an official level in the DNR. As I mentioned before, the common belief was that among the scientists was that these moose that are in Wisconsin are just visitors. But they've seen this database of sightings that Amanda and other people have put together here include the sightings of calves. Okay, the bulls travel a little bit more with their big grand antlers, and they're much more visible. The cows and calves are secretive and stay a little bit more stashed away. You're not as apt to see them. Okay, the fact that they have confirmed sightings on trail cameras of calves with young, okay. Cows with young in centrally located in the state would indicate that this is a birthing area, because the calves do not travel very far. They're not trucking from state to state, the little ones. They're growing up. They're kind of hanging in the cover with their mother. So just the fact that calves are being documented in the state is enough for the scientists to agree there is some natural reproduction going on here. They agree with that, but how much of that is this just temporary? What is it? Is this going to be long term? That's a lot of stuff that's open to question in the future. But the point is, one person working for free, a volunteer, citizen scientist on this quest on her own, picking up shed antlers, taking them to schools, letting children handle them and learn about, these gigantic herbivores in among us that really are among us, is something really unusual, unique, cool. And that's the kind of story we look for in this magazine. People in Wisconsin who are doing unusual things, and Amanda Griggs from Springstead really is doing some unusual things. I attended one of her lectures among children, and adults and children at a local school up here, and to see an 8-year-old pick up this moose antler, this shed moose antler, and just stare at it, and he'll drop it, and all of a sudden he'll look mortified, and she'll say, "You couldn't break that if you tried, son. You know, here, hand it to your friend." It's pretty neat.
And tell me, if there's one person in our listening audience who didn't think of Bullwinkle during this whole, and Rocket J. Squirrel, were you thinking about Bullwinkle like I was? And there's a map there with all the dots of where she had these sightings. You can see they're all over the upper part of the state. Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, is joining us as he does every other month when the new issue comes out of Our Wisconsin Magazine. We're talking about some of the stories in there, not all of them. You're going to have to read some on your own, but we do have some of them to talk about to kind of whet your appetite. Now, the Stagecoach Inn, there is a Stagecoach Inn not far from where I live, not far from Racine, and it's now a restaurant where they put a quarter pound of butter on your baked potato, a whole stick of butter on your baked potato. That's what they're famous for. But this is not that Stagecoach Inn. Let's talk about a home in the old world, because people lived in this place. It was an old Stagecoach Inn back from before they had cars.
And people can go see it now. It's standing currently at the open-air museum known as Old World Wisconsin. That's in Eagle, Wisconsin, Waukesha County. And it's an outdoor museum with period buildings as people would have seen and used in the 1800s. For example, there's a... you can go see, there's a farm with some animals. There's General Store, Creamery, Town Hall, a church. It's called Crossroads Village. And blacksmith shop. You can see some of that working. And it just depicts the lifestyle and traditions of 19th century immigrants and settlers that have came to Wisconsin. And you catch it during the high season, and there are docents there wearing costumes from the dress from the period, and doing some of these things. It makes an interesting day, an educational day, cool thing for kids. So there are some of these old refurbished buildings there, and what we're talking about here is one called 4 Mile House. Now, it wasn't built in Eagle, far from it. This was a stagecoach stop between towns, and it's from Rolling. It originated in Rolling Prairie. It's a Greek Revival building. Now, where's Rolling Prairie? It's Dodge County, near Beaver Dam, and it was called 4 Mile House because it stood 4 miles from Beaver Dam to the west and 4 miles from Horicon to the east. And so that, you know, about, you're going to make that trip, it's 8 miles. You got to stop and water your horses kind of in between there. There are travelers from further away, of course. And stage stop, so a stage line before there were rail lines in these areas. And it provides a place for a meal and some rest. You can change your horses, water your horses, and that's what it was. These were very important between many of these small crossroads communities. They were set very close together because that's the distance a horse could travel. I always heard it was about 7 miles was about max. So that's the reason there are so many little ghost towns on Wisconsin maps today, which amounts to a crossroads and some old buildings. It used to be much more bustling than it is than those places are now. When the railroad came through in 1856, the line from Milwaukee to Beaver Dam, they didn't need the stage line anymore. People weren't using that. So this home became a hub for social activities. It was a boarding house and then eventually a private residence. Well, as I said before, our readers of our Wisconsin send in their stories. What's going on currently, like the Moose Lady, Amanda Griggs. This is somebody sharing a memory. So back in 1971, she and her husband had just been married. They had a couple of young kids, ages 1 and 4, and he got a job at John Deere in Horicon. And they needed a place to rent, a place to live. And this old house came up for rent. One of his coworkers, someone in the family owned it. It's out in the farm country. So in 1971, they moved in. They moved into this cool house that was way too big for, you know, just 4 people. They got to know it a little bit. And the interesting thing was there was an entire upper Laura, they didn't use. They closed it down in the winter so as not to have to heat it. But and there were old newspapers they found in the walls for, you know, poor insulation. But the newspapers dated into the 1800s. They found some of those. But it was an empty dance hall up above them, and on the third floor. And when it was warm enough to be up there, they pretty much just showed guests this. Who stayed with them, but there were signatures of all the people who came there and were part of this when it was a boarding house or who attended dances there, community events. They signed the walls. So this person, Charlotte Lang of Juneau, who wrote this story for us, recalled vacuuming up there and doing just household chores, cleaning the place as you normally do. Getting lost in reading the names and messages and I'm assuming dates and things from people from over 100 years ago who had been there, and she would wonder about them and wonder what it looked like. And her 2 children, Christine and Marilyn, she sent photos of them in this home, got to grow up in that place, at least for a good part of their growing up years. The whole, as she said, this whole place was an antique. And now what's really neat for Charlotte Lang. And this home has been written up quite a bit in Greek Revival home. Main wing is 27 feet by 40 feet. The story about picking the historical society, State Historical Society, buying it, Old World Wisconsin, and moving it all the way to Waukesha County and then setting it up as part of their outdoor museum, well, Charlotte can go visit it now and show people where she lived. So that's very neat. They were renting this for 3 years in the early 1970s, and she returned there in 1983 after it was renovated and part of Old World Wisconsin. And she's now taken her family and kids there, and has helped chaperone field trips for youngsters to go through this, not only Old World Wisconsin, but this four-mile house, and then show them where she slept, where she cooked, because she came later than the pioneers. Neat piece of history.
We're talking to Mike Beano this hour, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine. Our next article is a little closer to home, Franklin, which is just a stone's throw away from where I'm sitting right now. And we're going to talk about a guy who puts together the mighty Wurlitzer organs. Now, we had a guy in Racine who did that, too. He had one of the old theater organs down there. But this is not an organ that you would see in your living room. This is huge. Let's talk about this guy with his mighty Wurlitzer.
Yeah, we are talking about the largest theater pipe organ in the world, and it has been brought to Franklin by Paul Welbing. He's of the family that came up with the well-known lip balm Carmex. His father cooked up the first batch of it, I think, in West Allis or Wauwatosa in the 30s. It caught hold, and that has been the family business for many years. Paul is, I think, third generation of that family. And along the way, Paul's father exposed him and his brother to organ music. He loved organ music, particularly theater organ music, and played in orchestral fashion. I mean, these things are so complex. There can be a whole orchestra at a player's fingertips. The instrument we're talking about here is the 1931 Wurlitzer. He had it installed in a 20,000 square foot Carmex warehouse in Franklin Business Park. That portion of their complex was empty, a big cavernous space. And Paul had the opportunity to buy this organ, and it's 7,000 pipes ranging in length from size of a number two pencil to something 32 feet tall. That's what makes it the largest theater pipe organ in the world. And, you can get percussion sounds out of this. There's like marimbas, xylophones, gongs, sleigh bells, handbells, bird whistles. It's really a marvel, as all of these things were back in the early 1900s. So they had this large warehouse. Paul became aware that this massive organ was disassembled and could be purchased. Only out of 5,000 of these that were built in the United States, probably a few hundred are only left. He brought this disassembled, gigantic unit to that 20,000 square foot empty warehouse. Why there? Why so big? Because it has a 6-second reverb. Okay, there's an echo in there. It's so big, it gives the sound time to travel and meld, I would say, because there's so many different. And there's a photo in here of his tiny couch in the middle of this warehouse with all the pipes sprinkled around it, and he sits back and just enjoys the music coming from it, but not just alone, because he also shares the music from this. They have concerts and events at the Karma Lab warehouse, and people are invited to come and see this and listen. They can play music from rolls. They can play music from computer. They can have a real live organist right there playing symphony music. Skilled organ students, Paul hopes, will come to use it someday. But the Dairyland Theater Organ Society's website, I'll give it to you now, dtoswi.org, talks about, gives information about when some of these events happen. But this reaches back to the days of before the 1920s, when they had, in the advent of talkies in the movie theater, they just had music and subtitles that went along with the silence. And the mighty Wurlitzer organ was part of it. You'd get a little concert tied to the movie, and this Wurlitzer would rise up on an elevator from down below often, and up would come the organist, you know, playing entertainment. Paul saw some of this himself at the Capitol Theater in Racine, Milwaukee's Riverside and Avalon Theaters. So this is a throwback to those old days of grand entertainment in the movie theaters. Silence, and then talkies came. And you can see, catch a little bit of this in Franklin. There's really a piece of history there.
You know, I was telling you off the air that when I was a kid, I used to go to Radio City Music Hall in Manhattan and go to the movies. That was a movie theater. And I went to go see True Grit there one day. It was my last movie I saw there, True Grit with John Wayne. And if you got there early enough, you got to see the entire show. You got to see the Rockettes, a circus act, and a concert by the mighty Wurlitzer. This was all day long. This was before every time they showed True Grit, they would do this a whole show. So for a buck and a quarter, you got to see this whole thing. And the mighty Wurlitzer came up from the ground. And it makes its way up to this, you know, eye level, and filling Radio City Music Hall with over 6,000 seats. This was wonderful to hear this sound of this organ. I was a kid, and I still loved it. And then John Wayne shooting them up with the True Grit.
Well, you've got a piece of that not far down the road from you, and there are opportunities to see it yet. And I think what you just described, a piece of that is available to be seen at certain times, and it's heartening to know that some of these things have been preserved and saved.
You know, and we only have about a minute left here. Who's in the gatefold, the center section? Those beautiful hot air balloons.
Who's in the gatefold?
The beautiful hot air balloons.
Talking about people, I know which magazine you're reading.
Come on!
This is the
hot air balloons.
Hot air balloons.
Where'd you get that picture?
So we have a three-page gatefold fold out in the center of every magazine, showing some cool parts of Wisconsin. Often it's you know, a daylight landscape with rolling topography. This time we've got a balloon glow on the Wisconsin River in Rhinelander. It's along the Wisconsin River, and at night when they have the balloon rally, nightfall comes, they stand these balloons up and fire them up. They fill the envelopes, as they call them, the colorful big balloon, with hot air, and they glow, of course, because there is, you know, there's fire going up in there. And so they stand up all these colorful balloons, fire them up, and they light up the surrounding area. This one, the next balloon rally here, you can catch the 2026 one, Saluting Heroes Balloon Rally. That's July 31st through August 1st. Tethered balloons, colorful, and you can see them. And they're giving balloon rides, too. That's in Rhinelander.
I know the magazine you were referring to, and it's no longer in publication anymore. So there you go. You're still around. They're not. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah, well, there weren't enough people like you and me around, obviously, to support that.
OurWisconsinMag.com. OurWisconsinMag.com. I subscribe. I've been doing it for years and years. And my wife and I just love reading these issues. And just it's great. It's a great magazine. You guys put a lot of work into it. The paper stock is high gloss, and it's the way magazines should be. And it's all about your state. The ads are great, too. I was telling you earlier, when we started this whole thing, I got my trip to my Labor Day trip based on that ad. Thank you, Mike. You have a great rest of your summer.
Okay, you too. Thanks.